Today's scripture comes from John 20, verses 24 and 25. But Thomas, who is called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails on his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." This is the word of the Lord.
And now we'll have our brother Al come up and share God's message with us. Touching God, touched by God.
Good morning. And it's always nice to have an opportunity to share before everyone here. And I know for Pastor Eva, it's always a tough decision to give up the pulpit. Because she never knows what we're going to say. Right? But I want to speak a little bit about this Sharing Sunday before I share my sharing. And it's not. This is not a message, it's just a sharing, so it's not going to be a message. Several weeks ago, Kimmy got up and shared how God had worked in her life, how God had helped her with the decision to pursue her master's degree on top of everything else that was going on in her life. And I really enjoyed getting that peek into how God was active in her life and asked Pastor Eva if she could create a sharing time during Sunday worship so that more people could share. And to encourage her, I volunteered to go first. So that's why I'm here. It turns out she didn't really need any encouragement. So we have our first Sharing Sunday, and the credit, or blame, I guess, goes to Kimmy. All right. So I chose this scripture in John today because I sometimes feel like Thomas. You know, God, my Christian journey would be a lot smoother if you could just give me a little evidence of my own to rely on. Or at least something a little more current than the Bible. I've read the scripture this morning about Thomas, how he wasn't going to be convinced that Jesus was alive unless he could touch Jesus himself. Jesus answers John after showing himself to him in verse 29 of John chapter 20. He tells him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet had believed." So this is the answer I get from God when I say, "Well, give me a little evidence." And his answer is, "Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed." Now, I'm kind of a facts-based guy. I'm an engineer, and so I want to have a little evidence, right? But it turns out we do have evidence, and it's in the lives of the people all around us, especially in church. So I just need you to share it with me so I can see the evidence of God in this world. So my story begins one afternoon last June. Gail and I are on our way to enjoy coffee and a walk at the beach. And if you know, many of the streets in Manhattan Beach where we live are very narrow. And if cars are parked on both sides, only one car can get through at a time. On this particular afternoon, we turn left off busy Pacific Coast Highway into one of these narrow streets, which will take us to the beach. About halfway down the block, I notice a bus stopped in the street. And we come to a stop behind it. I give a honk on my horn, wait a while, and nothing happens. So after a minute, I get out of the car and walk over to the bus driver and ask him if he could move over so that I can get by. His answer, "There's no room to park, I'm not moving." I tell him he's blocking the street and no one can get by. His answer, "Back up and go around. I already made three cars do that already." So now I'm thinking I have a civic duty to convince him to move. He doesn't know it, but I have a secret weapon. I'm retired and have a lot of time. So around this time, a woman comes out of the closest house with a bunch of papers in her hand. And alongside of her is a young man in a tuxedo. All of a sudden, I realize what this bus is for. Now, who can guess what's going on? Some of the high school students might know, right? Or college students. It's a prom party bus, right? So I asked the woman if she could tell the driver to move over so as not to block the street. Her answer, "We'll be leaving soon." I look around, there's no one on the bus. Do you know how long it takes to load a prom bus? They have to take pictures, right? So I ask her, "Well, how long is it going to be?" Her answer, 15 minutes? And I told her, "I don't think so. You better tell the driver to move over. He's blocking the street." She said, "Just a minute," and disappears into the house. Her husband comes out of the house. I go, uh-oh. He's going to tell me to go around. But instead, he sheepishly tells me they're going to get the driver, try to get the driver to move. It turns out the bus got there early and the prom goers are still partying in the house and not ready to go. The bus driver is upset because he has to wait. Now the prom goers and their parents have taken up all the parking spaces on the street, and so that's why he has no place to park. So seven parents come out and move their cars so the bus can move over and park and allow traffic to go by. So yes, I did it. My secret weapon worked, right? The bus driver lost and I won. As I drive by, I explain to Gail what happened and my victory in getting the bus to move. But then a funny thing happened. A few minutes later, my elation over getting the bus to move was replaced by a deep sadness. I couldn't understand why I was feeling this way. The facts didn't justify it. I was perfectly justified in being stubborn. The bus was blocking the street. The woman lied to me about being ready to go. So why was I feeling so bad? It wasn't until a few days later that I understood what had happened. C.S. Lewis, in his book Mere Christianity, explains how the Holy Spirit tells us what to do. But because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, we don't recognize him and think it's just us. The Holy tells us what we should do, but it's not what we want to do. Now, this is the important part. What we should do is not what we want to do. That is how we know the urging comes from the Holy Spirit and not from us. Because the urging is not from us, but from somewhere outside of us. And that was what was happening with me. I really wanted to get that bus driver to move. Backing up to the busy highway and going around was not an option. But in the end, I failed God. The Holy Spirit convinced me that I could have gone around. "You're retired. You have time." I wasn't in any hurry. And I took a little of the graduation happiness away from the prom parents. And that was why I felt so sad. But then an interesting thing happened. The sadness went away, and I was happy. It dawned on me that God had just touched me. I was assured that God's grace reached even me. Now, we can't touch Jesus like Thomas did. But God will reach out and touch us. It will be in very ordinary circumstances, and we will not expect it. But we have to take the time to think about it and see that God is in our lives. So I want to share with you this experience I had with God touching me. So I'd like to ask you to pray with me for a minute. Lord, we know that you are in our lives, that you promise to be with us at all times. And we ask, Lord, that you be patient with us and to help us to see you, to feel you, and to know you are there. In this we pray, amen. So I would like to encourage you to volunteer and share your experiences with God. It doesn't have to be long. 1 minute is fine, or longer if you want. Just tell Pastor Eva, and she'll find a time for you to share. So I hope to hear more from all of you in the future about your experience with God, so that we will know how God is in our lives. Thank you.